good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to be in, Luke 3 this morning. What about Jason's teaching last week?
It was good. Woo,
yeah. Yeah.
You guys are weird. Awesome. That was good.
I enjoyed it.
Good stuff. Let's pray. Father, if our source of information is not right, then what we know about you is going to be incorrect. But if the source is correct, then we might learn how to follow you the way you want. So let us leave what we think about you out of the room this morning. Let you put in our thoughts exactly what you want us to have. After all, this is not about us, this is about you. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Good morning, Andre. You know, this thing is heavy. And I thought, man, you got to have some weights in there. And then I realized I'm 66.
All kinds of stuff is heavy.
Jason, I think, took one verse in Luke 2. And I'm going to borrow something here, and I'm going to try to draw up. I was telling some of the guys, it's impossible. Try to draw up something that's really difficult. It doesn't mean it's not true. It just means it's difficult for us. But let me give you a little background in Luke. Where's my phone at? I got a few things I'm going to want to read to you. What's going to happen is we're going to take some information in Scripture, and we're going to connect the dots for us to look at what we call Passover scriptures for the human mind, because we perceive it a certain way. And so we kind of read it, and then we pass over it to go to things we understand, because we really don't understand what that's saying. I think, I'm pretty sure that God has given me some insight as how these things connect. Okay? So we're going to start the event in Luke 2, at the end of Luke 2, in verse 49, Jesus' family had gone to Jerusalem for Passover, and they were returning back to Nazareth, and they had been like a day away. The family's traveling back. They were about a day away from Jerusalem. They had left the Passover event, and Jesus is not with them. The God child, not the Catholic God child, but the God child. They don't have him with them. So they travel, and this is all just information, they travel in large families. So they had a lot of people, it wasn't a small gathering. So they realize he's not there, and 3 days later they go back, they find him, and this is what his mother says. Well, before what his mother says, he was in the temple. He's 12 years old, he's in the temple. And he's listening to the teachers, and he's asking them questions. It says here, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. He's already filled with the Spirit of God. He's already listening to the Father. And so when his parents saw him in the temple, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Jesus, at 12, tells his mom, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" You know, at age 12, the Jewish kid would learn his father's business. And so you would be at his place of business. If he was a fisherman, you would follow him. Well, he's in his father's house at age 12. And they hadn't put two and two together yet. And later on it says here that Mary considered all these things and was pleased. Because she realized, oh, this is the Messiah here after all. Okay, let's remember the word house and think about it. Think about this also before I read. I'm going to read something in John. Okay? I want you to think about the word house, and then you know in a house there are many rooms, right? Remember the scripture where Jesus talks about there are many rooms? He says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And where I go, there are many rooms. What do you think about that? And you're the honest answer. Just, what do you think he was talking about? Well, I'm pretty sure the heavenly realm, there are three different types of heavens. I get that. I'm not talking about the earthly ones. I'm talking about the one where the Father sits on the throne. Mm-hmm. That thing's already established. He wasn't going there to fix a room for you and I. Like it wasn't big enough. Got to do an addition, right? Nah. You know what he had to do? He had to return to the Father. That was a must. Sounds like eBay. And I'm going to read these scriptures to you. And watch what he says. Let's pay attention in John what he says. And I am going to get to Luke 3 here in a little bit. And I'm going to go in reverse order. This is John 14. Then we're going to go back to John 13. And this is what it says. Jesus is speaking. I think this is the Last Supper. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go. He said, if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And watch what he says. And will take you to myself. That's a strange use of words, huh? I will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What is that? I will take you to myself. So we got a room, Father's house. We have a room, and I'm going to take you to myself. Now watch what he says before this. This is in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. He says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I also say to you. Jesus says, where I'm getting ready to go, you can't come.
Interesting. So he's going to take us to him.
Then watch. Three verses later, Jesus replies. Because Peter asks, he says, where is he going? Where's Jesus going? They don't understand. He says, while I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. He is referring to a sacrificial death, resurrection, and ascension to the Father. You can't go there. So what was having to take place is Jesus was going to go back to the Father. He's going to ascend to the Father. And then he was going to return. He was going to create something here on earth similar to what it's like in heaven. He is going to create something. Here's where the difficulty comes in. He said that I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare this place for you. And I'm going to come back. I'm going to return. And the Bible tells us that when he returns, that the Father and the Son are going to make their abode with us. We already know that he's going to send the Holy Spirit, but he says, the Father and the Son are going to come, and we're going to make our home with you. He's going to make our home with us. Here's what I want you to think. Here's the picture. Here's our body. And when you're born again, you're grafted into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Spiritually, we've been grafted into Christ. The scripture says it this way. You are hidden with Christ and God. Christ is hidden in the Father is in the Son, and now we are in them, and they are in us. The scripture says something about the old is past, and the new is come. The new is come. There's your room. There's your room. You are a new creation in Christ, and we are now found in Him. There's your room. That's what's brand new. And wherever you find the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you find the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus is telling us, go tell the people that the kingdom is near.
Yeah, it's in you.
It's in you. Wherever you find them, you find their kingdom.
Yeah.
And so the room is in us. The place that they're speaking of, that Jesus was speaking of, that you can't go and do what I'm getting ready to do, but I'm going to come back and we're going to abide in you and you're going to abide with us. Okay, why is that so important? Think to yourself, why would that be so important? If God went and created something that is brand spanking new, it is new. And if you're born again, it's in you. Why would you keep visiting the past, the old? God has given us something that's not broken. He replaced that which is perfect with that which is imperfect. And God is a perfect God. He has given us this new creation to live in. And we're constantly, by the way, the only Christianity that really takes place is from this new birth.
That's right.
Christianity doesn't happen outside of it.
No.
Mm-hmm. But be careful what you say about Scripture and how you interpret it. Because here's what you're going to do. You're going to make Christianity about the old and try to take the old and make it new. And God says, you're just, you know what you do when you do that? You're X-ing out what I did over here on the cross for you. I gave you something brand new, and you're telling me you want me to come join you and make this better when I told you to come join me, and this is perfect already?
Right. Old wine's good.
Do I help teach you?
New wine.
No, I'm not fucking help. We're complete. It's a finished work, he said. Did he not? He said it's finished, it's complete, it's full, it's life. You know what he said about that life? He says it's an abundant life. Okay, here's our deal. If this is brand new, and it's perfect, and it doesn't need to be fixed, you know what the saying is? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Remain. John 15. If you want to know what we talk about and why we focus, you say, well, there's so much more to Christianity. No, there's not. There's nothing more to Christianity than the part of you that's born again. The rest of it doesn't qualify to enter into heaven. This is going to remain. Now something needs to change. Because this brand new thing is fully sanctified. It doesn't need to be fixed.
Right.
The process of sanctification is trusting in it.
Yeah.
As you go through.
Why is the process of sanctification trusting in this thing here? Because man thinks like this over here.
Right.
And we're fighting this, and man is teaching from this perspective, not from his perspective. Now, you remember the word follow?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to follow him?
Yep.
There's only one way to follow him. You can't train the old to follow him. He doesn't communicate to your old. You know what he's telling you to do with the old? Deny it and die to it. So here's what I'm watching, and this is why it's so adamant. Why are you trying to fix your past in these programs that they have in order that somehow you can do something better for Jesus and for God?
Yeah.
When he already did it, and it's complete over here.
Oh boy.
You see, he's not asking us to go. How many of us still have problems? We all do. We still have something that's pulling on us that we know shouldn't be there. And God says, you know what? Why don't you come spend time over here and just let that thing die on the branch? You know, if you leave something on a branch long enough, it's going to rot.
Yeah.
If you don't go pick it.
Yeah.
Let it rot, T. Joe. Leave it alone. Let this live so that we'll die. Because the flesh profits nothing. But by the Spirit, we put to death the deeds of the flesh.
Amen.
Stop worrying about your shortcomings and concern yourself that God, the way I think, is causing me trouble. Because I'm viewing you a certain way and you're not like that. That's why in the prayer I said, Lord, you know, take our first nature. Get it out of the way so we can hear you from our born-again portion of who we are. That's where the message is going to be given. Now, Luke is going to say something that Isaiah said. He's going to quote something here. And it hit me. And I never heard it before. My wife's got this. She knows I don't like her couch. She's got this lime green couch. It's like,
oh, man.
But man, that thing has been a blessing because I sit on the lounger part of it and I just wait. I said, Lord, if you don't give me your thoughts, I'm going to mess it up. I'm not capable of understanding you. You have to get it to me. So I'm reading and I'm thinking, okay, Luke 3, I'm due. I'm up. And God says, T.J., you're not up. Sit down.
Good.
Let me have this. We got to trust the one who lives in. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So now we've got that same one in us. We all have the one who spoke the universe into existence. That abides in you. And this is what we're trying to convince ourselves of, is the process of sanctification. It's trusting the one who's in you. Not what you think about him, but in him. Father, what works must we do the works of the Father? And Jesus said, entrust the one whom he sent.
That's right.
Do you know that it's mentioned 40 times? Jesus mentions it 40 times that he was sent by the Father. He's making a point. The Father sent me again and now I live in you. And watch how this might look. Watch how this might look. I'm going to read a little bit here. And 3, and then I'm going to stop. This is about John the Baptist. He prepares the way for Jesus.
I sat on that couch, by the way.
It's got some power, huh? It's got some feathers. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of, I can't pronounce it, doesn't matter, and then another family member who's from Abilene, not Abilene, Texas, but from Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, thank you. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Pay attention to the wilderness. Pay attention to the word. He went into the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance. Baptism of repentance, changing your mind. Because we're going to find out where the battle's at. We're going to find out where our battle's at. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. Okay. How much time? 9 minutes.
It's in Luke.
Luke 3. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. The voice of one calling in the wilderness. Give me a second here. I want to define something for you. I thought to myself, wilderness, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. My sheep, they hear my voice.
Yes, know my voice.
They know my voice, and they follow me.
Yes.
So what is wilderness?
Watch.
Yeah. It's in the Greek word, it's iron, iromas. Of uncertain affinity, lonesome, waste, desert, desolate, solitary, wilderness.
Wow.
Here's the word I like. Unpopulated. Unpopulated. Open pasture. Let's see if I can get the definition here that I wanted to read to you. In Scripture, a desert, which is where they lived, is ironically also where God richly grants his presence and provision for those seeking him.
Yes.
The limitless Lord shows himself strong in the limiting scenes of life, the difficulty of life. I thought to myself, like you may think, that a wilderness might be like your prayer closet. And then Tito's got this weird thought process. What if someone sees me coming out of my prayer closet and then the rumor starts, Tito came out the closet? my weird thinking just took over. But it's not just talking about your private time with him there. It's talking about making room up here. As though it's unpopulated with your religious ideas concerning God.
That's right.
Can and are you willing to let that process inside your head that you know him go away? Job and his friends didn't know him. The process, the thing has got to go away so that it's new each morning. The manna comes in and it's fresh. So here we have the voice of one calling to his people because they've made room. It's unpopulated up here. It's made room to hear from him. If the sheep hear his voice, what are they doing? Someone tell me.
Listening.
They're listening. You can't hear without listening, or I guess you could scream at you and get your attention. But they listen. They're postured in a way of listening. They're continually being teachable.
Right.
Yes.
I'm going to explain something about this scripture. And watch, this scripture is talking about the room.
Wilderness, the room.
He's talking about the room way back with Isaiah, and he's telling his disciples, I'm getting ready to go away, and I'm going to come back, and I'll make this room for you. I'm going to make room for you to come and abide with me, and I need you to make room so I can live in you. Because really, whenever we were born again, there was a great exchange took place.
Yeah.
You willfully gave up your life, he takes it, so that he can give us his. Exchange, right? Why are we still trying to polish up this one? You hear me say it all the time. Stop trying to polish this one up. What I'm not saying, you shouldn't try not to stay away from sin. You should, of course. We all know that. Yeah, you stay away from that. But we're putting our hope in the new creation and not trying to check off all the boxes here. And watch what happens when we live according to this creation. This new creation. The thing we don't understand. That we've got to put our hope in. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Unpopulate this thing. Prepare a way for him. He's going to come in and his ways are different. And he's going to show up when you least expect it. And if he doesn't give you his thoughts, you're going to miss him. Let me tell you something about those thoughts so that we can comprehend this thing. God has given us many, many thoughts that we don't know he's given us.
Yes.
He's directing our path and we don't even know he's doing it. But there are those occasions where God wants to make himself known and he wants to give us his thoughts, and his thoughts will direct our understanding about him. And what he's wanting us to do, he wants us to put our hope in that new creation. That's the process of sanctification. He said, if you will prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him, every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. Level. Valley, mountain, turn the mountain over, fill the valley, level, consistent. What does that remind you? Someone said something in scripture about that. Level.
Yeah.
Paul said, what did Paul say? He's content in all of his ways. Why is Paul content? Paul was not content as Saul at all. He's content as Paul because he has realized this is not about me, this is about him. This is not about me doing, this is about him doing. He's the Lord, he's the one who performs. I am not going to perform, I'm going to just obey.
Yeah.
I'm allow the performance of the one who can perform his life through me. The mindset has to change, guys.
Yeah.
We're always teaching the other end. And in Christianity, you find it said, man, I feel hopeless. And I feel a burden because I can't get this thing right. Anybody ever feel like that?
Yeah.
Christianity, you're trying to measure up and you feel like I just can't get it right?
Right.
Well, Jesus, God said, I already know that. That's why my son had to die for you, because you can't get it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've given you something brand new that gets it right all the time, and you're not even, my people are not even aware of it. It's not the focus. He says, this is the focus. And you know, I'll tell you, when that becomes a focus, people will witness Christ. And it says it in this, right here where it's quoted, I'm going to read it to you. He says, a crooked road shall become straight, and the rough way smooth. My understanding will get straightened out. I'll still operate out of faith because I can't lean on my own understanding. We're still going to operate out of faith, trust in him. And then he says, the rough ways, life's not easy. The mind that wants to pull you back into a Christianity that looks like the way man says it looks like. I cannot tell you what Christianity looks like except for this, that Christ in us is that Christianity.
Yeah. Christ in you, the hope of the Lord.
You see, hadn't it touched on that? Here's application. Recognize, he's in you. Ah, that's where my hope's at. The burden's gone. He says, that's right, my burden's light.
Yeah.
My yoke is easy. Come, you're going to have to follow me because you don't know where I'm going. Watch the witness part now. He says, and all people will see God's salvation. Because we trust him and we're living according to this, they're going to see Christ in us. We talk about that all the time. We think we got to dress up kind of like him somehow and our demeanor and how we behave and all this other stuff. But the truth of the matter is, he's unpredictable. You can't put him in any kind of human box at all.
Right.
But if they see, they truly see, not us trying to be Christ, but actually the life of Christ in us. He says, when they see that, the world's going to be drawn to me, not to TJ or to you. They're going to be drawn to that life that is in us. So here's the moral of the story. What he's talking about here. All of this stuff that you're struggling with, put it over there. live here. There is no struggle here. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Process of sanctification, it's not easy. This is our default by nature. This is our default. We're separated from God over here. We're not joined to Him here. This is completely all on its own. But the problem is, like bone is to marrow, they exist like that. Right? They do. They exist just like that, side by side. So now, are you going to trust Him what you think you know? Or are you going to give it to Him and let the one who knows? I often say this. If the guy's on the bench and he bats 1,000, and you're at the plate and you're all the way up to 300, and you think you're doing pretty good, you say, Jesus, I'm getting there. Just right there. You just stay there, Jesus, on the bench over there, and I'm going to keep swinging until I get it right. Now I'm at 320. Now I'm in my coffin. I'm at 315. And Jesus, God said, I sent my son to carry that load for you. And you didn't trust Him. The whole thing is recognition, guys. If we can recognize that Christ in us is our hope.
Yes.
He who is in you is greater than the world, which is yourself and everything around you. When that lie starts to show up, no one knows how to present the Father like Jesus does. And so we're waiting for Him to show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to pray us out? Jaden?
Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so much for this message, God. This is the gospel. This is the gospel, Lord. Our sanctification in You. God, I just pray that You would help us to apply this, God, to live it out in our daily life, to not depend upon the first birth, but to come into the second birth, to remain in You, to not try to perfect the flesh that we live in and will one day not bring to heaven with us, but to focus on that which is new, the new wineskin that You've given us. And Lord, as we focus on You to sanctify us and to set us free and to build Your house and temple within us, God, I pray that the world would come to know You, God. Because the message of the gospel is not just salvation. It's You making us holy before the world, God. So I thank You for this amazing message that TJ gave us. And I thank You for just the hope that is in it, just for our sanctification, God. Lord, we love You. I pray that as we continue to go throughout our day, Lord, that people would see You living in and through us. And that the application of this message would just take place in our lives and in our heart, Lord. We love You so much, God, and we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 You got it?
We'll see.